Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Squad podcast, your weekly compendium of reviews covered on Breakfast with Taylor, as we do every Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. My name is Simon Morado, and joining me today...
I'm Cecilia Allen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is Cecilia Allen?
Yeah, that
I was like,
work.
That does not work,
no.
Does it?
Mm. Hi, is Cecilia Allen. that's my fault. I'm not usually the one doing the intros. That's Tristan Fiddler, but he's away on assignment. He told me he was catching a ticket to paradise.
Ooh.
Mm, yeah, so we'll hear more about that next week, for better or worse. But Cecilia, always great to sit opposite you and have a yarn about some new releases. I think we say this every week, but we cover the spectrum this week. We do have an interesting film that you cover, a review of a horror film, something that you're... Let's say you're an expert. You're an expert in the realm of horror. Tell us about what you reviewed.
I'm reviewing Bodies, 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 or I do think it could have been called Murder in the Dark, but hey, that's, or at least Murder in the Dark in Australia, because it would make more sense.
It should
people.
Be one of those, like, Suddenly 30,
yeah.
You know, how that was Suddenly 30 in Australia, but it was 13 going on 30 in America. We need the Australian specific titles to return.
Exactly.
Think, yeah. We'll have to overthink about what else we could retitle. So we'll get to Bodies, Bodies, Bodies in a bit. But first, we are going to look at a film we both saw and reviewed, the David Bowie documentary, Moon Age Daydream.
You're aware of a deeper existence.
Are you there, David?
Are you there, David?
Maybe a temporary reassurance that indeed there is no beginning, no end. You find yourself struggling to comprehend a deep mystery.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirt you wear.
Ever since I was 16, I was determined. Would have the greatest adventure that only one person could ever have.
Half past seven on your Friday morning. It is time to check in with the squad with us every single week. Simon, good morning.
Good morning.
And Cecilia, how you doing?
Good morning.
Thank you for being back with us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Tristan is off on assignment. He returns next Friday. A couple of interesting films this week going in very, very different directions. Simon, let's kick off with Moon Age Daydream.
Absolutely. This is a new documentary from the documentarian Brett Morgan, who has made a number of really great films and acclaimed films. He made The Kid Stays in the Picture, or co-directed that in the early 2000s, the doco on Robert Evans, which is a lot of wild fun. And more recently made the Kurt Cobain film Montage of Heck, which I didn't see. Cecilia, did you catch that one a few years ago?
I did not, but I'm thinking about having seen Moon Age Daydream, maybe revisiting this to see if it's in similar kind of vein.
Absolutely, and we'll get to what you mean, because The Kid Stays in the Picture was, you know, for those who've seen it, and I highly recommend it, even if you're not aware of the history of Robert Evans and Paramount Pictures, but was very much about this guy looking back over his life and using, you know, real footage, archival footage, as well as some recreations and reconstructions. Montage of Heck and now Moon Age Daydream are both utilizing the French art of montage, Cecilia. And this one in particular is about the life and times of David Bowie, but is purely comprised of archival footage and relies on Bowie himself, who passed away, obviously, a few years ago, as the narrator. And Brett Morgan had access to Bowie's personal archives. This is one of those, the first film, in fact, that's been sanctioned by the Bowie estate. So he had all this footage that had previously been unreleased and has been able to cobble together a narrative told by David Bowie to go through the rise and fall and rise and fall and rise throughout his career. But Brett Morgan has described this as wanting to be less like a music doco and more like a theme park ride. You know, it is trying to be an immersive experience, a phantasmagoria, if you will. It's kaleidoscopic, all those kind of fun words that we like to throw around. At its worst, or at my worst, most concerned moments, I feared something like Cirque du Soleil's Love. Do you remember this?
Yep,
which was sort of like, oh, we'll take the music of the Beatles, we'll mash it up a bit, and we'll blow it out, and then it kind of stops sounding like the Beatles and becomes something else. And as a big Bowie fan, I was nervous about that. Taylor and Cecilia, how do you both feel about David Bowie? Are you fans? Were you looking for a retelling of his life story?
Well, I am a fan of David Bowie. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan. I would like to learn a little bit more about him, but I did see this film and it is a very audio-visual experience. I do admire the filmmaker's decision to try something, you know, non-conventional. It's not that traditional type of, you know, music documentary. I have to admit, I didn't really learn anything new about David Bowie. I think to see this, you have to be a Bowie fan already because you're not actually going to leave. And I felt like it kind of hit the same point over and over again in this experience. But I admire the filmmaker's decision. I'm actually more interested in his process as how this, you know, film came together.
Absolutely. And it was 5 odd years in the making, and he had a heart attack and went into a coma for a week of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I think there's some interesting stories behind the scenes, I think, about Brett Morgan's processes generally. But Taylor, are you a David Bowie fan?
I am. Probably as much as the next person. I don't know an extreme amount about David Bowie. I've always admired his work. I think, like many people, to me, this sounds, and Simon, maybe you can weigh in on this, from everything that I've seen and read about it, it reads more like an art installation than it does an actual documentary film, though.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. And I will say, okay, it seems like I'll be the biggest Bowie fan in the room. And I was obsessed with, and probably still am, with David Bowie. I remember being 13 or 14, getting the Best of Bowie, and that was like the mm-hmm. gateway drug, you know, for all things, you know, alternative. I saw him live in 2003. A few years ago, I did the Bowie in Berlin walking tour.
Wow.
So into Hansa Studios, where he recorded the Berlin trilogy.
I feel like you underplayed how much you like Bowie.
Yeah,
trying to, you know, I didn't know where we all stood. So I wanted to understand, because I think Cecilia makes a really good point, which is that if you go into this as a mega fan, mm-hmm. you're going to pretty much be in the pocket for this film, because it is just going to be 2.5 hours of remastered music, incredible visuals, and you're just going to get to see Bowie performing live across the eras. So, of course, I'm going to enjoy that kind of thing. But as you say, as someone who maybe was like, well, I know the songs, but I would like to know more about the guy and about, you know, what happened behind the scenes, you're not really going to get that. I don't even think they refer to drugs in the film. You know, there's really no mention of his addiction in the early stages of his career, which is fine, because I do think, as you say, Taylor, it looks like an art installation, because it's ultimately about trying to capture this mercurial guy's incredible talent and creative processes. And it does follow the skeleton of has a skeleton of a traditional music biopic. It sort of opens with him and, you know, we learn a little bit about his upbringing, but then suddenly he's Ziggy Stardust, he's a megastar, and then he has to pare it back. He goes to Berlin to find a new way of creating music, to return to his roots, and he kind of sacrifices success. But then he goes, you know what, I'm going to get rid of all the oblique nature of my music. I'm going to be really upfront and make something conventionally accessible. And he makes Let's Dance, and he goes on the biggest tour in the history of the world. And you would think, yep, in a traditional movie like Bohemian Rhapsody or Rocket Man, that would be the triumphant climax. But that's almost where the film for me becomes something special and breaks from the mold and becomes more in tune with who Bowie was, because that's not good enough for him. And we see him realize, no, I need to return to the creative process. And there's a quote earlier from one of his interviews where he says, artists should be always seeking, that the journey is the thing, looking for what is different is the thing. If you ever felt like you had arrived somewhere, or if you had a sense of discovery, that would actually be very depressing. Mm. And I like that the movie does take that turn and go, okay, he actually hit the pinnacle of success, But that wasn't what he was looking for. And so he's going to keep going down this rabbit hole of industrial music, heavy metal, art, jazz, painting, film. And I think that's a really nice way to try and encapsulate his career when, by virtue of the length of it, you're just not going to hit every album, everything that he did.
It's interesting. I was not that I don't just wait to get my reviews from Movie Squad, but I did.
I assume so.
I did happen to listen upon somebody else's review of this, and they said, "I know, I'm sorry. I'm not too timing. I just listened in very quickly and briefly, and I'm glad that I listened to the part that I did, because they suggested that this is a film. If you're going to see it, it has to be observed in the cinema on a big screen, on the biggest screen that you possibly can, as opposed to in home viewing." Simon, Cecilia, you both saw this in cinema?
Yes, I did, Cecilia, and I'm glad I did for that exact reason. And I'm very much a proponent of, you know, the cinema experience is the ultimate experience. But as a recent-ish parent, mm-hmm. I also respect that you can't go and see 50 movies in a year if you're a regular punter, you know.
Sure.
So a good movie should be able to hold up at home. Mm. But this was one I was really happy to get lost in. Cecilia, how did you feel?
Yeah, I would agree. The big screen is the best way to view this, because it is a very artistic audiovisual experience, and it takes you on a journey, and I just don't think you would get the same effect. It wouldn't translate right to a smaller home screen, I don't think. So, yeah, no, I'm really pleased I seen this on the big screen.
Yeah, it's available in cinemas now. Moon Age Daydream, for the Bowie fans out there. Let us know if this has been on your radar for a while, if you've maybe already seen it. 0405 921 921.
You don't have to be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
Wow, how so impressive.
You're impressive. They're gonna be obsessed with you.
They're not as nihilistic as they look on the internet.
You guys, this is me.
Oh, whoa.
This is your first relationship?
Oh, no.
You just kind of give that vibe.
Well, you know that has weed in it, right?
Silence!
Oh. Who wants to play bodies, bodies, bodies?
So how do you play?
All right, we've already had a look through Moon Age Daydream for Movie Squad this week. Cecilia, we're going to change pace, I want to say quite drastically now, and very much in your wheelhouse. We're talking horror, we're talking bodies, bodies, bodies.
Yes, a film directed by Helena Rain from a screenplay by Sarah Delap, both who I'm not familiar with. I don't think they're overly well known, but I think, you know, this might give them a little bit of, you know, success, and that we might see more from them. But the film centres around a group of really rich, entitled young adults who gather at a friend's mansion for the night to ride out a storm, a hurricane that's about to hit. And the night begins with lots of drinking and dancing and, you know, some other stuff. And the group decides to eventually play a game of bodies, bodies, bodies. But we know that game as Murder in the Dark. Here in Australia.
Okay. It all makes sense now.
It does, which is, I don't know if you guys have played this game. I'm sure you all have it asleep over at some point.
Simon and I have lots of cousins between us. There was games of Murder in the Dark, I'm sure, at some sort of family gathering, Simon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was the youngest, so I was probably always murdered first. Yeah.
The weakest link.
Yes. So, however, things do go terribly wrong when one of the friends is found dead. So tension really rises among the group, and, you know, growing between them is these kind of secrets which are uncovered. There's a rift caused between, you know, the friends, as, you know, everybody becomes a suspect in this game. And yeah, it was one of those films, as I would describe, as more of a thriller with elements of a black comedy. It's partly a satire. It does take a dig at, you know, murder mystery films, but it's also takes a dig at the age of social media influencers, you know, social media, phones, Instagram, all the fun stuff as well. So you've also got comedian Pete Davidson in this film, who, you know, is that comic relief in there as well. It's a good setup to a horror film. It's got that scary mansion on a stormy night type of feel. But it does tend to fizzle out towards the end. And I guess with any murder mystery, the fun of it is guessing who's done it. So you're kind of sitting there going, well, you know, who did it? But it does, for a film that's set in a mansion with, you know, where it's quite dark and stormy, it did lack that jump scare element that I thought I might get in this film.
Now, Cecilia, similar to me being a Bowie fan and watching Moon Age Daydream, you're a horror fan watching a horror film. Now, does that mean that you are more on board than most, or do you think that actually I need it to be a bit scarier to tick that box? Do you think it was a regular punter would find it scary, or was it a case where actually it's probably missing that essential ingredient?
Yeah, look, I think that's a good point. I think based on the audience reactions in the film, I think a regular punter did find this a little bit scary. Okay. For me, it did not tick those boxes. Just, it didn't give me what I wanted. I just thought, yeah, jump scares would have been an element or component to this film based on the setting of it. But yeah, it really lacked that. It was more about the whodunit element and trying to figure out who did it, and the rift that was kind of rising between these friends, and the dialogue, and there was those secrets that are uncovered. So yeah, look, I think it had the elements there, but it just, yeah, didn't quite tick the box. The good thing is it does sit at 90 minutes, so it's a short and sweet film. It does come to a conclusion, and, you know, ends well, but yeah, I just lacked those ingredients for a horror that I like to see. Those kind of elements that you get in Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer, those traditional older slasher films that I really enjoy. So
I have to ask, though, about the cast. You mentioned Pete Davidson, but there's a couple of other actors in here who I think, Taylor as well, you're a fan of. Rachel Sennett is in it. She was the star of Shiva Baby last year. And that was, I think, a top three film for us. Maybe even your favourite of the year?
I think it was my favourite of the year.
That was also my favourite of the year.
Was it really? Yeah, fantastic.
It was my top film.
Yeah, so she's in this. Maria Bakalova, who was Oscar nominated for Borat 2, we shouldn't forget. And also Lee Pace, who I really like as sort of an older guy. How is the cast? I know there's more than that, but like, does anyone particularly break out or stand out?
It is quite a female-dominated cast. You've really only got Lee Pace and Pete Davidson as the males in this film. So yeah, predominantly female. But yeah, Rachel Sennett really plays that kind of diva, that real popular type girl in this one. Amanda Steinberg is someone who's got a bit of a troubled past, so she brings that element of suspense and mystery to her as well. And Maria Bakalova plays more of the quiet girl with also, what's her past as well. So everyone's kind of got this interesting past, which really makes it hard to guess who could potentially be the killer in this one.
Interesting. Cecilia, we've sort of talked about Pete Davidson and how he's part of this film. I don't think beyond SNL and like the first 15 minutes of that second Suicide Squad film, I don't think I've seen him act in anything else. So spoiler if you haven't seen that. Can he act?
Look, he's Pete Davidson in this film. Okay. It's exactly how he is in anything else.
Because he was in The King of Staten Island.
Which is actually a brilliant... I quite enjoyed that film. Do you have different feelings about
this film? I did very different feelings about that film, but that's fine. And he's fine in it. I have no problem with him in it, but he is effectively playing himself.
Yeah.
But he has done other movies. There was a movie called Big Time Adolescence, which apparently he was quite good in, and I think one or two others as well. I mean, he definitely, you know, he's not being cast as anything other than the Pete Davidson type up to this point in his career.
So he's floating, he's coasting is what you're saying.
Yeah, he really is Pete Davidson in this film. So, but, you know, I think there's a lot of fans out there that'll probably flock to see this film primarily for Pete Davidson.
Look, I'm not going to lie, Cecilia, that's the only reason that I signed up to see this film. I didn't get to see the film. I probably still will go back. It makes me quite excited that you said it's not scary enough, because that feels like I'm going to be very comfortable and confident going in. I just really quickly want to ask, though, it's not like sold as a slasher film per se, but are there elements of that in this? Like, is it bloody or violent or anything, or is it just more suspenseful?
It's more suspenseful, and I think the reason I reference slasher is because of that dark kind of scene, or like, you know, you're in a dark kind of mansion and you just get the impression that there might be someone lurking around the corner, and that's, I think, what I was hoping for more than anything, but it didn't kind of give me that feel or vibe. So yeah, it's more suspenseful, and you know, there are obviously people that do get knocked off kind of in this film. So, I won't say much more than that.
Simon has this soldered or maybe further distance you
from
it.
Oh, look, it's probably cooled my anticipation for it, but I am quite interested in it. I think the visual style of, you know, the poster and the trailer, I think is interesting for a horror film. Rachel Senna, Maria Bakalova, Lee Pace and the other actors you mentioned just feels like a fun collection of, like, they're not just, you know, handsome faces the way you would get in a I Know What You Did Last Summer or that kind of slasher film. It feels like there are some interesting character actors that have been plugged into this, which I like. So I am very keen to see it, but if Cecilia, formerly known as the rom-com queen, but actually actually the horror queen, says not quite scary enough, that has cooled my jets a little.
All right, let us know if you've already seen this. 0405 921 921. Maybe you were only going out for Pete Davidson and Rachel Senna like I was. Let us know. That is Movie Squad for this week. As always, you can play catch up on the website and the Movie Squad podcast. Cecilia, thank you for filling in.
Thanks for having me.
And Simon, we'll do it again next Friday.
See you then. There you have it. A fantastic review there of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Though, Cecilia, you are advocating for a retitling for the Australian market, perhaps on DVD, like when, remember, Edge of Tomorrow became Live, Die, Repeat?
Yes.
When it got released. Are there any other films that you can remember that were sort of retitled for Australia?
Yeah, there was a film called Joyride in America, but known as Roadkill here in Australia. So
I remember this as well. This was... Did it star not Hayden Christensen, but like
quite a well-known face? If it was an early film, maybe 2003, a group of friends kind of are travelling and rub a trucker up the wrong way through the radio, different titles, and I just remember fighting with a friend about. No, it's definitely called Roadkill. And she's like, no, it's Joyride. And it's like, yeah.
That's because you were an expert. You were looking at the international box office returns and they were just looking at the video covers.
Exactly.
It may have been Paul Walker. Someone off that production line.
Yes, Paul Walker was in this film. Yes, thank you.
No, that's what we're here for on the Movie Squad. Thank you for joining us this week. And no doubt we'll be back with you soon. But Movie Squad returns next week with Tristan Fiddler in tow and potentially another breakfast host. We'll leave that as a teaser. But I do want to thank everyone who is listening, everyone who calls in, messages, emails, SMSs during the show and afterwards. We always really appreciate it. Do let us know what you think of Moon Age Daydream and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies and inevitably Ticket to Paradise. Cecilia, you're not with us next week, but you have seen the film. Do you want to give us just a, you know, one or two sentence, like, what's your take on Ticket to Paradise?
Oh, it's a bit of fun. Enjoy George Clooney and Julia Roberts as, in this film. And I think they work really well. There's clearly that chemistry there. So I really enjoyed them working together.
All right. We'll see if Tristan agrees with you in a week's time. but do tell your friends to subscribe and review the Movie Squad podcast. Until then, thank you very much for listening.